If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Interstate Batteries offers a wide variety of batteries for your everyday needs. Stop into one of their thousands of retail locations and talk with a battery specialist about batteries for your truck, trail cameras, and even those weird batteries for your rangefinder. Interstate Batteries even offers cell phone repair in certain locations. For more information, visit interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
A KFC tale in the pursuit of flavor. The Colonel made his $10 Tuesday bucket so full with 8 pieces of juicy, crispy chicken or tenders that it might just last you till Wednesday. If you've got that kind of self-control. I mean, some people want leftovers. Others are more into right nowers. The Colonel lived so we could chicken. $10, 8 pieces, one big deal with KFC $10 Tuesdays.
Prices and participation may vary. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
Time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we're going to be talking with two gentlemen from UBCO Bikes. Now, I have an e-bike, and actually a pedal-assisted motor, things like that. It's a Quiet Cat, and electronic everything is becoming more popular, all right? And including today's guests, who manufacture basically an electronic dirt bike. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today is the backstory of this company, their history, where they came from, how they got to where they're going, why they've decided to kind of try to break into the North American hunter and outdoorsman demographic. And it's just a really cool conversation about the popularity of electronic vehicles, and I don't even know what the specific, like a single person transporter, right? Which that could be a bike, that could be a little dune buggy, that could be like a one-person dirt bike like UBCO here. And so very interesting conversation. I know that I can tell you this right now from an access standpoint. When you have restricted access and deer may be able to see you walk in, or you need to drive in, but you don't want to make too much noise with a truck or a car, there are other low impact options. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, taking an e-bike into my hunting locations, they just kind of ignore me. They kind of just look and then look away. And then they'll watch me until I'm out, and they'll be right back there. I had a couple scenarios this past rut where I was driving my e-bike within 40, 50 yards of a shooter buck who was bedded down in a draw, and all he did was just watch me. I think he was bedded down with a doe. That may have had something to do with it, but he didn't stand up and run. Like if I drove my truck, it's very quiet. And vehicles like this, I feel like, are going to start becoming more and more popular, not only in the private world, but also in the backcountry world, where you can only take a truck so far until the roads go to shit, and then you can hop on one of these e-bikes or an electric dirt bike, such as an UBCO, and go further, go deeper, go longer. And there's some really cool functionality that we're going to talk about as well in this episode. But before we get into today's episode, I do have to do a quick shout out to Code Blue Sense. Code Blue Sense, they're running a big Black Friday sale. So make sure you go to Code Blue Sense Instagram page or Code Blue Sense website, and you can save a ton of money on this Black Friday deal that they have going on. Also, if you forget the NFC20, Nine Finger Chronicles, so NFC20, it's going to save you 20% off as well. So I'm not sure what the Black Friday discount is, and I doubt you can use both together. I will say that, man, Code Blue Sense, I love their rope-a-dope system. I love being able to have every deer in the area come and investigate this little rope on the preorbital gland that's hanging there, and they check it out, and I get a picture of them. And then I know exactly, not only from bucks, but from does, all age classes come and sniff this thing, and it just lets me get a really good inventory of deer in the area. They have synthetic scents. They have real scents. They have scent elimination products like sprays and laundry detergent. They also have body washes and hair and things like that. So go check out codebluescents.com, discount code NFC20 for 20% off. That's it for the commercials. Let's get into today's, I don't even know what we're going to call it. We'll just call it a company profile podcast with UBCO Bikes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson. And today we're going to be a little bit outside of the norm as far as products are concerned, you know, as hunting gear and equipment. And we're going to be talking with Joey and Phil from UBCO. And is it UBCO Bikes or is it just UBCO?
Just UBCO, but UBCO Bikes makes it easier.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so it was unique when you somebody from your company reached out to me and was like, hey, I'd like to get somebody on your podcast to talk about this product. And I thought it was really interesting, given the fact that there's this huge popularity of electric everything now, right? Whether it's cars or trucks or you know, scooters. Like there's kids down my street that have a motorized scooter and they just fly down and fly back, and that's all they do all day long. And so you guys have what looks to be an electric motorbike or motorcycle. And so I guess, where do we kick it off? Phil, do you want to talk a little bit about the company history, how this company got started, why it got started, where it originated from?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and thanks for having us, Dan. Much appreciated. Yeah. So UBCO's got a pretty unique origin story. The company's originally from New Zealand. sort of North Island town called Tauranga, Mount Maunganui.
Okay.
And really the product was invented to solve a problem in dairy farming, which is one of the biggest industries in New Zealand. And the government have big kind of aggressive climate goals to decarbonize the farming sector. And motorcycles are used quite commonly in farming across Australasia. So really the bike was invented to replace the combustion motorcycle on farm. And so it's been through now five generations of development. And the first four were really, putting the bike to the test in really harsh climate in New Zealand, where you get pretty much every type of weather you can imagine. And dairy farming is one of the most probably aggressive use cases. And so the bike that's come through that development is really, it's really quite unique in the context of sort of electric bikes and motorcycles, because it's really just built for pure utility and kind of hardcore use. And much like kind of many brands that started in sort of a more of a professional line, you think of brands like Carhartt and others, really this bike has been adopted by every organization, from military to even postal agencies through down to conservation agencies. And so we've been working really with national governments in Australia and New Zealand now for the last four or five years in North America and parts of Europe. And that kind of almost professional grade quality has started to translate into the consumer market. And one of the big areas that we've found of natural adoption from customers is in hunting, fishing, and sort of general sort of backcountry recreation. And what we've seen is there's been a number of products that enter the hunting space, where traditionally it was kind of you either pack in on foot, or you're using a quad bike, ATV, or even a UTV to sort of get back, get out into the backcountry.
Yeah.
The 2x2, it's an all-wheel drive motorcycle, which again is quite unique. It's driven by hub motors in the front and rear, and you can carry, a lot of gear relative to a quite small form factor. And so sportsmen are generally finding they can get further on this because the bike weighs, you can lift it really easily. And so you can lift it through terrain that you probably couldn't get a quad bike. So you can get further and get to more remote spots much more easily than you could if you were using a larger vehicle. And then conversely, relative to sort of a pedal-based electric bicycle, it's just more durable. It can withstand rougher terrain, it can go further, it's got longer range, bigger battery, and it's really built more for like a commercial kind of hardcore use case. And so in a consumer context, it really is kind of punching well above its weight. So that's kind of the sort of backstory. We've been in operation 7 or 8 years now in terms of production, and probably 4 or 5 years in the United States and Canada. We've got manufacturing in Eugene, Oregon. We've got most of the team are based in between Eugene, Bend, and Southern California, and then our head office is in the North Island of New Zealand, and we've got folks in Europe and Australia as well. So the company's grown kind of under the radar, really, and more recently, Joey kind of elaborate on this, we've started to push more into kind of the consumer space, working with well-known outdoor brands and ambassadors to sort of really just grow the awareness of the product and kind of its capability in a variety of use cases. But I think just back to hunting, that's really where we see the best product market fit. It really does the job that that someone needs, on a day-to-day basis. And it it wasn't intended for that originally, but just that development path in farming has really, kind of given it a really good foundation to perform in pretty tough terrains, across the United States.
Okay. So, when I think of where do the wildlife live that I like, where do I need to be to go hunt them? Okay. And sometimes, like you mentioned, it is very far away. It's deep, it's rugged, places where a side by side can't go, trucks can't go, even like, smaller four-wheelers and things like that.
Yeah.
If they're, especially if there's a lot of deadfall or things like that. And so as the company was, you know, you had this product, and this product was like you just mentioned the kind of the birth of it and what you were trying to fix, what problem you were trying to fix, and who your demographic was originally. How do you guys change a product like this, or alter it, or you know, make adjustments to it, or get customer feedback from it to actually change the product in order to meet new standards for a new demographic, which is the hunters of North America?
Yeah, I can take that, Joey, and I'll hand off to you. But I think, if you think about the sort of the base requirements for products in farming, and then you apply that across maybe a conservation use case or a hunting use case, the core of tenants are the same. It's reliability, it's performance, it's easy to service, it's lightweight and agile, it can carry a lot of things, it's useful. So the bike actually is a little bit of a Swiss Army knife in the fact that it can do many things, you know, very well. It's a bit like a pickup truck. You know, you can use it for a whole variety of things, from running to the store to going to Home Depot to doing more sort of hardcore use off-road. But I think what we found pretty early was, if we get close to the customers and we really understand their pain points and kind of how they use the bike, we can then build this sort of roadmap for the product using both hardware changes, which take longer to implement, as well as software changes to the firmware of the product. Things like implementing traction control or changing the power differential to the wheels. These are the things that we're working on, where we've had that direct contact with our customers to say, like, where could this product be improved, and where is it kind of, where does it need to go in the future for you to use it more, mm-hmm. to recommend a friend, to really be something where you say, this is the tool I want to use every day. So there's quite a lot that electric allows you to do that combustion wouldn't, in the sense that we can make a lot of changes through software and firmware that rapidly improve the customer experience over time without having to go back into, you know, heavy engineering and re-engineering the product, which, you know, those cycles can take 18 months, 24 months. So that's definitely one area. And I think, you know, the customer feedback we've had has also informed the accessory ecosystem that we've built around the product. And these things often get kind of underappreciated, in the sense of, it might be such a small thing to add better storage or add something that like the Molly panel that you can connect more items to. But when you're sort of time poor and you know, you just want to get out there and you want something to work for you, removing those kind of obstacles for the customer so that they can really get the most out of the product right out of the box without having to sort of connect too many dots themselves. Those things make a huge difference. And it might only be one accessory, and it could be a really cheap item in terms of the overall cost of the vehicle, but it unlocks so much value for the customer. And so that's been another thing that we've focused on, in really listening to customers and sort of, and a lot of the early adopters have actually made things for the bike, which has been like inspirational to watch them kind of put these things onto the bike that they've made themselves. And then that's given us ideas for what we would develop next. So okay. It's pretty cool to see.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Yeah, and I'd add on that from a perspective of how the bike's set up. You know, as Phil mentioned, it's a bit of a Swiss Army knife, and the frame itself is super high-end 7,000 tensile strength aluminum. So it's heavy duty, but it's actually light in weight, and there's 19 racking points on it. So for this bike specifically, and thinking about hunters, it was really about making sure it was outfitted for, you know, being able to get into the backcountry, get out to the blind with more stealth and just more cargo capacities than maybe some other things in the electric space. And so with, you know, a cargo deck in the front and back, Molly panels on the sides, you know, a lot of different other things that we did is we brought in some partners in the form of Onyx to make sure that and Peak Designs, so you have a solid mount for your phone for trail systems to get where you need to go and ultimately where you should and shouldn't be in the backcountry with a vehicle like that. And the great thing about it is the nimbleness too, is the fact that it is hub driven. There's no chain, and even electric vehicles with chain, it's a ton of noise. And so it's really stealth, really quiet, and the 75-mile range allows it to go further. And that's what really kind of creates a distinction for this product over maybe other electric vehicles for the hunting vertical itself is, you know, relatively lightweight. You take the battery out, which can add a lot of the weight, and you're looking at just over 100 pounds. And so you can get a couple of them on a hitch mount as opposed to taking up room in a toy hauler or other things like that. And so it's also got full suspension, which makes a big difference for when you have the bike loaded with all your gear, leaving room in a cooler to bring back meat and everything else like that. And so we've really tried to look at the core competencies of the product being long range, utility, and quiet, and then making sure it was, you know, really fit for everything that it needed to do.
Okay. All right. So let's... that's a great segue into specs. All right. So why don't we talk about, you said just over 100 pounds without the battery. What's the total weight?
It's around 160 pounds.
160. Okay.
Yeah. Right. 155, 160 with all the gear on.
Okay. All right. And then, so it's roughly 160. What is the packing weight? How much weight can that hold total?
This is something that we go back and forth on because ultimately we've tested everything for braking systems and the full capacity for range and everything to make sure that we can get that top end. And it's a minimum of 330 pounds. That being said, Phil, I mean, you could probably speak to what we've done with that in the past that has far exceeded that weight capacity.
Yeah. So because we have two models, so two pull models. One is off-road only, so it's really, you know, an off-highway vehicle. And then we have essentially a moped class version, which is a VIN vehicle, which so for road legal requirement, you know, we wouldn't advise someone riding on road in traffic with more than 330 pounds on the bike because of, you know, sort of braking and just general safety requirements. But we've seen people carrying 450 plus, you know, off road, as long as you're riding sensibly and, you know, you're going sort of, yeah, I mean, it really varies depending on the terrain, but that certainly is possible. We've heard stories from customers that have packed, you know, gear out, and also you can attach trailers and you can tow a remarkable amount in sort of the lightweight nature of the vehicle.
Okay. And then with that, you guys also said a 75-mile-an-hour range. Okay, so one thing that I've learned from my e-bike is range going flat with no hills is completely different than range going up and down. Different modes and different levels of speed also play a role in that. So is 75 miles flat straight a flat straight range, or does that include hills and aggressive terrain?
There's alternation in that. You know, obviously if you are max capacity full hill climb the entire time, you'll get slightly less than that 75 miles. But to put it to a real world application, some of our ambassadors, we have a photographer that works with Sitka, and she was out on a hunt with a couple of her colleagues, and they were in Colorado. They did 53 miles, and it was about 3,500 feet of elevation gain with gear. And they had about a quarter of the battery left when they got back.
Wow.
So it does really hold up to real range. And so, I mean, it's the whole range anxiety in electric is a very real thing. And so we've done, you know, a lot of testing that and really putting it through the ring of what it needs to actually accomplish. And so, you know, that's sentiment. There's actually an article in Gear Junkie that talked about taking the bike camping. Because the other thing about it is we do have brake regeneration on there. And it does a really good job of prolonging the life of that range. And so, the short answer is, yeah, perfect case scenario, alternating throttle, uphill and downhill, nothing too extreme. You'll hit 75 miles at least. But if you're really pushing it, I think you're going to still get close to 50 plus miles on that charge. And so, you know, that's kind of the realistic range within that.
Buzzword I just heard, brake regeneration. Does that mean that every time you brake, it helps charge the battery?
Yeah, exactly. It prolongs it. And within the settings, you can adjust the brake regeneration from absolutely nothing to 100%. So if you know you're going to be doing a big decline coming back from a blind or getting out to a blind or whatever it might be from base camp, you're really going to get a lot of that use out of it. To be able to really prolong it, prolong the battery range there.
And that regen is coming from the hub motors. And so you can actually kind of, you can, just like you can in an electric vehicle, like an automotive car, you can use the regen to brake. And once you get used to that regen, you can really understand, you know, how much you need to be on the brake versus off it. And that also helps prolong the life of the braking system as well. And, you know, you don't need to change your brake pads as often. So a lot of this is, to Joey's point, it's adjustable within the app. But ultimately, like, where we're sort of heading with the sort of user interface on the app and kind of the sort of ride modes, if you will, we're just trying to make it easier and easier for customers to understand which settings work best in which environments. So that they take kind of the headache out for the customer. Should I have high regen or not? If I'm doing a mountain climb, you know, we'll do that work for you, and we'll push those over the air updates over time to kind of just make the experience better. Yeah. Essentially.
Okay. App. There's an app. So in order to use this bike, you have to have an app on a smartphone to turn it off and on, or is it all on the vehicle?
It's both. So okay. There's a key fob. You can actually disable or enable the key fob, so you can play it in run mode all the time. If you're out, you know, no chance of someone stealing it, and you just want it to be on off on the the hardware on the bike, you can do that. If you're running into town on it and you want to be able to lock it up, you can lock the steering column and you can use a key fob. And then over time we will bake in automatic start via the app. But right now you don't need to use the app if you don't want to.
Okay.
So you can use it as a completely independent, but the app kind of gives you a lot of benefit if you invest time into understanding it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of going back to the battery again, and length of use. Have you guys found any increase or decrease in performance based off the temperature? Whether it's in the, let's say, the, you know, in the southern United States, it can get real hot in the 90s, even in November. And then north into Canada, you know, you're talking negative 25 with wind chill. You know, it can get real nasty up there. And so right. What's performance like with different temperature changes?
Yeah, with anything lithium ion, you will have variance in the range and performance based on temperature. Mm-hmm. Now, our product is DPI waterproof to make sure that the ports are not getting liquid in there. So you can run this through a stream, run it through snow. But what we usually recommend is the battery does have an easy access. It's a single port, pull the battery, lift the seat, it's out in 5 seconds, and it's really compact. It's it's about 1 foot in length, about 6 inches wide, and about 8 inches tall. And all of that range is in that small capacity. And you can charge off a converter, single 110. And so we usually recommend is pull that out. If you're going to be up in, you know, sub-zero temperatures, pull that into your shelter for the evening. And that usually does the job to make sure that you prolong the life of the battery and you're not going to see that performance issue. One other thing too, on just the lifetime of the battery, since we kind of came from this background of working in agriculture and in fleet between New Zealand military, and like Domino's Pizza all over, New Zealand islands, is that we found that after about 1,000 full cycles, so you're talking like 75,000 miles of completely charged, completely dead, you're only going to lose about 5 to 10% of the capacity on it. Oh, wow. So it's made to really last a long time. And mm-hmm. and that's why we back this with a 2-year warranty on the battery, a 1-year warranty on the bike, to make sure that, like, when you're investing in this, you know it's going to be built for the job.
Right.
And that really starts with the power source, right? And that's that kind of comes from.
Okay. As far as the bike itself, right? I run it all day long, or I run it, I go to out on backcountry hunt 3 or 4 days, and let's just say I got a short turnaround. How long does it take from zero to full to charge that battery?
So you're looking at 4 to 6 hours of full charge.
Oh, okay.
It comes with a standard like 110 fast charger. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is, if you need just to get it enough juice, since it is a fast charger, 80% of the battery will be charged in the first 2 hours, and then it trickle charges up there to protect the battery cells and the life of those.
Okay.
And so you really get kind of a good amount of juice through it from a standard like 15-amp pull to be able to get that charge up there relatively quick. But if you're going to top it off, make sure it's at 100% going out for a long ride, you want to give it those 4 to 6 hours.
Okay. Next question I have is speed and torque. Okay. You know, like it's important, especially when you're going up hills, right? And obviously when you're on a bike, there's probably hills that are a little bit too steep. I mean, that's just the way with any vehicle, but there are vehicles that perform better on a more aggressive terrain than others. What is, let's just say on flat ground, what's the top speed? And then as we start to get into the hills and the mountains, what have you guys registered for torque?
Bill, you want to take that one?
Yeah, so we're about 104 Newton meters of torque. And there's a 1,000-watt motor in each hub. These motors have been custom engineered by UPCO. And as we've said, sort of through 5 generations of product now. So they're much more stable and powerful than the early generations, and one of the big criticisms in the early generations was the hill climbing ability. We corrected that with the Gen 5, which is our current product, and that's really, you know, the primary use for a long time was hill country farming in New Zealand, and farmers needed to get up the hill carrying whatever they're carrying. And And so what's kind of unique about the product in the sense of the kind of experience riding it is, because it's two-wheel drive, you get this kind of push and pull effect. So you're kind of being pulled from the front wheel and pushed by the back wheel. It gives you a pretty unique riding experience, but once you get used to it, you start to understand really how to get the most out of it, and how to ride it in a way where the bike does more for you. So, you know, an example would be kind of standing up, leaning forward on the bike, especially when you're going uphill, gives you a lot more balance, but a lot more engagement of that front wheel. And so you start to, the bike starts to perform better as you get more confident at riding it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. All right. So I see on the website that you guys have multiple versions of this. You have like your standard electric bike, your hunt edition, and your special edition. And because it's the Hunting Gear podcast, why don't we talk a little bit about all the different types of accessories and specs that are on this in like the LCD dashboard and the Peak Design mobile bar and things like that. So break that down for us.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things we wanted to do is create, really a sense of security around some of the partners and brands that we pulled together on this. A lot of the accessories are items that we make that kind of go into those 19 different racking points. So earlier I mentioned the Molly panels that run along the side to hook on a ton of extra gear. There's a center carry-all that is also has a drain in it, so that could be filled with whatever you need. You have a front and rear cargo deck. And those cargo decks, for instance, one thing that's important is be able to fit your Yeti cooler on the back to be able to bring out, meat. There's also, the Peak Design phone bar mount. Those are specifically designed for Moto. And so they're built with a magnetic as also a clip in. And so that comes with an adapter, fits onto your phone. And I've unfortunately had to set one of these bikes down pretty hard, and it was a total mess. But phone stayed put, and so within that, we wanted to make sure that was set. We also partnered with OnX to make sure that this came with a 3-month elite membership for OnX Hunt, and then we also worked with Bare Bones Living to add a Japanese Nada tool. Really high-end machete-type tool that fits onto the Molly panels. And you also have a 2700 lumen floodlight on the front of that. Really illuminates dark spaces. And then you also have that LED dash, so you can see, what power mode you're in, where's your speed, and most importantly, going back to range, how much of the battery's been used. Because I think that's important to be able to see live as you're using the bike. Beyond that, it still has room to mount more items. And Phil, forgive me if I'm forgetting anything, because there's a lot that goes.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail. Woo! And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Yeah, I think there's just the bow mount as well, which...
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and we work with... we work specifically with that attachment with Shane and Shane Dorian. And, we started on the handlebars and then we moved it onto the front rack and... we were working with a Matthews bow in the shoot and kind of really understanding, where the best positioning, where the safest positioning for some of these attachments was going to be. So a lot of this has been kind of carefully curated and the partners we've worked with, we've been working with Peak Design for probably over 18 months, 2 years now, and are starting some relationships with the likes of ONX, but all with the intention that this just makes the experience so much better and easier for the rider.
Yeah. Okay. So we've talked about the accessories. We talked about some of the specs, the weight, the speed, the range. After I take it through the mud and I abuse it for a week on a hunt, what type of maintenance, not only short term, but long term, do I need to perform on this to keep it in good shape?
Yeah, I think that ultimately the nice thing about it being 86 DPI waterproof and all the ports being, protected is you can just hose it down, even with the battery connected. I mean, if you really get it totally mudded up, it's best to just pull the battery and hose the whole thing down. But other than that, the great thing is, by charging the battery and cleaning it up, you don't have to do much. Over time, you need to replace the brake pads. If you're really having a lot of downhill and you need to, use the brakes heavily through the entire time. But that's not like an every time use. And that's one of the upsides to it is the fact that it's, ride it hard, put it away wet in some essences. Yeah. And as long as you're caring for that battery, it will really do the job for a long time. The other thing that's nice is that under the seat that flips up where you pull the battery out is there's a fuel kit. So there's an extra pair of brake pads in there, as well as the tools to be able to tighten, change, or fix anything necessarily you need to do on the bike. And it's all in a pretty compact area. So it kind of comes back to this ethos for the product that is, a lot of utility in a very small package.
Sorry to cut you off, Joe, but yeah, I mean, that was kind of the biggest issue, in terms of the arming requirement was uptime. Like if we can't use this thing pretty much every day, and it's in the shop for repairs, then it doesn't work for us. And so that was really the hardest hurdle to cross over, the five generations of the product, was to get it to a point where, the uptime's super high. And I give an example of, there's teenagers using this bike in New Zealand, riding it for Domino's. And you can imagine those guys are trying to go as fast as they possibly can, brake as late as they possibly can. And the bikes have lasted, 3 years doing, 30,000 kilometers a year, pretty much. And the really only thing that needed repair was the, every now and then we'd need a hub motor changing, but most of the stuff on the bike is modular. We can ship the wheel with a hub motor on. You can assemble it yourself. You can take it to a local dealer. It really depends on your sort of preference and competency, but we've tried to make it something that, particularly the type of customer, they generally want to work on it themselves. And so we want to encourage that, if we can make that easy for them.
I had this experience happen to me with my e-bike, flat tire, a couple miles back away from my truck, and it sucked having to push it all the way back. Do you guys have any special flat repair kit that comes with it, or maybe talk a little bit about the durability of the tires?
Yeah, so it comes with knobbier tires so that you have better clearance going over all terrain, and we don't send it with an extra tube or anything like that, but that is something that, again, always looking to improve what we can include with it. We can always ship extra. And it's a standard size. It's not something that you're going to have a hard time finding, standard 17-inch, moto wheel and tube. And so there's options on the tires as well. Yeah. Be able to make sure it can withstand what you need.
Okay.
Yeah, you really don't see the same level, like the same puncture rate as you would on a bicycle. Or an e-bike, because it's essentially a motorcycle tire, and it holds up a lot better in that, if you were doing that side by side comparison.
Okay. Are you guys strictly direct to consumer, or do you guys have dealers in the United States?
So we have a dealer network. We're around about just over 150 across North America now. We do online direct to consumer, but really the long-term vision for the company is to be selling directly to fleet customers with an extensive dealer network, to be able to sort of manage those ongoing relationships and the service. And then we're sort of filling in the gaps of the country where we don't have dealer coverage right now with our online business. But if for instance, if we have a dealer in a particular area and someone buys online, we'll credit that dealer with the sale, make that connection for that dealer with that customer so that they can have ongoing service going forward. That's quite sort of distinct from a lot of companies that have chosen to go direct to consumer. There's pros and cons of each, but we feel with a product like this, service kind of and peace of mind is a big part of your purchase consideration.
Okay. And then one of the last questions that I have is, let's say a a hunter who is listening to this, whether they're out west in the mountains, whether they're in the flatlands of, you know, the plain states, or in some heavily timbered country like the East Coast, it can be, what would you have to say to them, who, you know, to those people who are potentially looking for some kind of vehicle like this, why they should consider UBCO?
Joey, do you want to take a stab?
Yeah. I think that we've been circling this for a while now. As Phil has mentioned, we've had the core competencies of the product there, and we've been working with hunters all over the world in a lot of different scenarios, and carefully watching the space. And we wanted to make sure that we entered the space and did it in a compelling way that we could make sure that we were legit. And so that was part of the reason why we partnered with Shane Dorian. Shane Dorian's best known for being a big wave surfer, but he lives in Hawaii, where he hunts year round, and he feeds his family venison pretty much year round. And that's how he provides one of his favorite pastimes, hunts with a lot of people well known in the space. And so we worked closely with him to make sure this was curated for the right way, that it gave a game-changing experience over what else was out there, making sure that we work with people that have used other products and see where the space is, and then really showcase this product in a space that's competitive in price, but really blows a lot of the competition out of the water for power, utility, and how stealth it is. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the three big things we hang our hat on with this product.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think the just to add, I mean, I don't know how much your audience knows about Kiwis, but they're pretty no nonsense, and they don't really accept stuff that doesn't provide value for money. And so we had that kind of heritage really in the first few years of the company, and so introducing this into North American market, we just want to sort of reinforce that authenticity that this was a product built for hard work, for professional use, but it's also great fun. You know, it doesn't always have to be as serious as some of those applications, but ultimately it's delivering value for money, and as a company we want to be known for that. Yeah. Where you know, a great experience and you don't feel like you've been ripped off in any way.
Right. Where is this product manufactured?
So the product is assembled in Eugene, Oregon. So we're in NHTSA approved US manufacturer. We source parts from kind of all over the world. Most of the components on the bike were designed in New Zealand, and then we source from all over Asia, as most supply chains are. Mm-hmm. The mainline manufacturing is our largest investor is a Taiwanese company really teeth in kind of the smartphone world, and so they've got, you know, in a manufacturing context, they're operating at a really high level in terms of quality and fit and finish. We've been working with them now for 4 or 5 years. We have our own production line with them in Asia that does the sort of main assembly, and then we bring the vehicle in, and we have a really great team in Eugene, Oregon that have been with us for 4 or 5 years now that put the bikes together and get them out to customers. So we have customer service in region, in each region we operate, sales in each region we operate, and again, we feel that that's kind of a key differentiator, that you can pick the phone up and you can get hold of Clayton, and he'll answer the phone within 2 minutes. You know.
Okay. And so the quality checks, though, because that's what I hear. You know, a lot of companies have their products manufactured overseas. But one thing that I really like is when they're assembled, you know, it may not be financially possible for them to build everything in the United States, right? And I'm talking about a United States product at this point. But as long as they're assembled in the United States, it eases my mind a little bit, because I know there's probably a quality check that is involved there as well to make sure everything is in working order before it's shipped out. Do you guys have a strict quality regime that you guys do for every bike that's sent out?
Yeah, we do, and we've sort of evolved that over the last, at least the last 3 or 4 years in particular, with our manufacturer in Taiwan. So there's kind of two stages of quality. There's quality of the individual components that make up the vehicle, and being able to sort of ensure that our suppliers are providing us really high quality components. And then there's the kind of build quality at a sort of foundational level, so the product as it receives into the United States, and then the final assembly and the final checks are all done in Eugene on the line. And so every bike that goes out is basically hand engineered, in terms of final assembly and signed off. And so we very, very rarely have any issues sort of out of the box, and we pretty much have a no questions asked policy if we need to sort of help the customer out in that regard.
Perfect. Well, I don't have any more questions for you guys. Is there anything else that we need to know about these, about UBCO before we shut her down here today?
Joey, you got anything?
Not necessarily. This is an evergreen product for us. This is not a flash in the pan SKU. We're really dedicated to continuing to listen and evolve, our hunt bike, to make sure it fits the needs for everybody that's using it. So we're really excited to continue to build partners and grow the reach and the kind of use case and case study around this product, so more and more people see the value, feel confident in working with us, and we want to earn that trust over time.
Perfect.
And we feel we put a lot of time into it. We're excited for it.
Perfect. All right, if people want to find out more about the product or any type of information that they can, they can learn or see it in action, where should we send them?
UBCO.com, just UBCO.com. There's a whole page dedicated to Hunt Edition right there at the top. Be able to see the shoot that we did with Shane in Hawaii, hear some testimonials, see some comparisons, get all the information you need.
Perfect.
Yeah. Give us a follow on UBCO Bikes, at UBCO Bikes on Instagram, if you want to keep track of what we're doing. And then, as I said, we've got like 150 dealers. You can find where they are on our website. Go grab a test ride. Or if you're in the Portland area, we're partnered with the Portland Trailblazers. We have a retail activation at the Motor Center. So you can find us in more and more places, which is
perfect. Gentlemen, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on the podcast here and educate us about UBCO. And good luck with the company and your guys's stepping into the hunting space.
Awesome. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate your time.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.